This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls. K2PCB,
K2PCB. How are you this morning?
Hey, Brad's in there. Good morning, sir. How are we doing technical-wise, radio-wise?
Well, I did some work last night with Ross's help. I did get the connector soldered, so I think I've got a much better connection to the center conductor. And Ross said that I was probably talking too close to the microphone for this particular radio.
Okay, is this the Elenco then?
Yes, it is. And I also turned the power down. I'm running it around a medium power, whatever that is.
Okay, yeah, you're doing just fine with medium power. No problems at all. No question in making that. Oh my goodness, readability is perfect.
That's good. I've probably got the microphone about 8 inches away from my mouth instead of where I used the Bofang, which was almost, I was almost eating the microphone, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Some people would even refer to it as swallowing the mic. You could probably go a little bit closer. One thing that I find works really good is, dude, you cut in front of me, and then you sit here with your directional on, and you're not even in the turning lane. Anyway, talking across the mic rather than into the microphone, for me that tends to work well. And, like, keep it, you know, this is just me. You know, if you're holding on to the fist mic, you know, the hand mic, turn it sideways so that you're talking perpendicular to the face of the microphone. And then if I have my thumb out, you know, like to touch my lip or the corner of my mouth, that's about the distance I normally go for. And I think when you talk across that you eliminate a lot of the popping sounds if you get loud.
We're trying that now, and it's funny that you should mention that. I heard that on a net, I think it was yesterday morning, a gentleman had mentioned talking across the mic and not into the mic.
And I guess it's not far off from, you know, in the music recording industry where they're, you know, they're singing or talking through a screen to help eliminate that, you know, the pops from the, well, you probably know this better with the microphones and I don't know what you would call it, transient of sound pressure.
Yeah, we used to call that an incident wave or a reflective wave. So the incident is perpendicular and the reflective is straight on.
Yeah, you're missing out on some good driving this morning. It's extremely foggy this morning. In fact, when I was walking out to the parking lot and unlocked my truck and the headlights turned on, you could see like this, you know, just this like hovering water particles in the air. Is pretty neat. That's what we're driving in this morning. So you're missing out.
Oh darn.
Okay, so it turns out to be an antenna connection issue. Is that what you determined to be the root cause of most of the issues?
I believe that is the case, that I just didn't have a good connection at the radio, yes.
Ross did send me a text last night mentioning that he was working with you in some way and was hearing you. And he said that you were really, really loud and somewhat over-modulated. I didn't get a chance to hear what that sounded like, though.
Yeah, he had his repeater on playback, and so after I fixed it, after I got it soldered, I keyed up a couple of times just to see what was going on, And then Ross sent me a text and said, I heard you keying up. And then he fed in another text and says, and I heard it come back. And I go, well, that's weird. I don't know if it was any better or not because I hadn't heard what yesterday's was. And then he said he came back with a text and said that was really loud. So I pulled the mic further away from my mouth. And then I didn't turn the power down until after he and I had finished. I found out how to do that. So right now I'm running it at medium power.
Well, just for fun, hit the function, the function call button, and pop it back up to high, and just to roll that out as, because we know it sounds good, roll that out as a possibility. And while Brad's figuring that out, anyone else in there this morning? This is KGPCB.
I can't seem to get it to go back to high for whatever reason. It's kind of built for a right-hander, and I'm trying to use it left-handed. And give it another try.
I would assume you're just doing it through the front panel and not the microphone. You should be able to just, if I looked it up correctly, you just hit the function button once, and then the call button is a multi-use button. And every time you hit function call, it should toggle through the power settings.
Okay. Yep. I now have 5 bars, which tells me that I'm at high power. How does that sound?
Yeah, it sounded fine. Okay. It wasn't. I heard a little bit of pop in there, but you could have been just close to the microphone. I had no problems with it. But if it works on medium, I'd just leave it on medium. You don't really need that much. Power, I guess.
Yeah, how's that? Got the microphone a little bit further away. I actually hold it in my left hand instead of my right, and I'm back on the medium power.
Yeah, that's a good mic. That's a good mic position, definitely. Today is Thursday. Thinking of all this radio stuff, did anyone hear yet if Jose passed his test?
I have not. If Jeff's in there, maybe he has.
Actually, there was an Echolink client connected, and since we didn't get a response, that might have been Ross listening in at work, but then as I was looking, I see a second Echolink client pop in, so I'm going to guess that one was Jeff. I don't have their numbers because they're just like serial numbers. ID numbers, I don't have those memorized.
KC2NBM, good morning.
It is Jeff. All right, we were just calling out to the ether for you. We were curious if you heard anything from Jose and how his testing went last night.
I have not heard anything. He didn't text me either way, so we'll find out this morning.
Yeah, Brad's in here this morning. Curious what you think of his sound this morning. He was doing a little coax repair, connector repair yesterday, and thinks he might have got it. Also adjusting his operating position relative, microphone relative to his mouth to get the right amount of punch.
I haven't been here long enough to hear him, so... I relent and offer the waves to Brad.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you? So this is the new setup. How does it sound?
It sounds very RF. There's some big clunks when you key in or key out. But other than that, I can understand you, unlike the other day where it was all horrid.
Okay, so that was probably 2 things, bad connection at the radio and holding the mic too close to my my mouth. As I told Travis earlier, I was eating the mic, or he said maybe I'm swallowing it, so.
Yes, the microphone is not a potato chip.
Yeah, that tail crash sound, there's a HT of Ross's that does the same thing. When he unkeys, it has that sound at the end. I know you can definitely adjust that at the in the All-Star note. There's a way to adjust it at the beginning so that it eliminates some of that. I don't know if we can get rid of that at the end. So it cleans up the tail crash for everybody. It'd be interesting to hear what it sounds like on Simplex. It'll probably be sometime over the weekend where I'll have this radio fully installed in the truck. I was thinking about it yesterday and realized I'm going to need a control cable and my cable extension, so I ordered that. It's supposed to be 2-day shipping, so hopefully it shows up on Saturday. I have to go to a birthday party on Saturday, so maybe on Sunday I'll do the full installation. And, then I'll listen, see what it sounds like on RF directly.
I feel like I'm driving in a horror movie with all the fog.
Well, as it usually does, the closer you get to the village of Lancaster, it dissipates. And by the time you get to work, it's gone. It was pretty heavy coming out of Alden. I was telling Brad that when I unlocked my truck and it turned the headlights on, I could just see this heavy mist floating in the air. It was pretty cool. A little eerie, but definitely cool though.
Well, I just heard from Jose. He did not pass his exam.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a bummer. I was going to go in here in a few minutes and, get all excited and congratulate him. But, that's a bummer. I wonder how much he missed it by.
He said he only got 15 correct.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you need to do a little more studying, a little more practicing, and retaking the test then and there wouldn't have necessarily yielded good results.
Yeah, I've got to really get ready for my exam. I was targeting the end of October, but I don't think Lancaster is giving it then. I don't think they might give it until November, but Jeff may know better.
I do not know better, that's unfortunate, especially with taking a class. I would have thought it would have been in good shape.
Well, it is a lot of material. It's definitely a lot of content to absorb and commit to memory. But, a little more studying, hit it again. Build up some confidence, and you're right. Even after having taken the class, but I guess there's some expectation of studying on your own. And next time around, he'll do fine. Maybe it'll give him more of an incentive to hit it harder, so long as he doesn't give up. So, I was talking to Larry McGuire the other day. And he was asking what technician book he should pick up to study, especially in the next few weeks that he's still off. And I was going to ask Jose which book they were using and wondering if he recommended it. And I guess I would ask Brad the same question. Were you and Jose using the same study book, study guide?
If I remember correctly, yes. I used the one that I got from ARRL, and I think that's the one Jose was using.
Yeah, which one that is, and send Larry the link. I also shared with him the other day, even though I think I may have once a long time ago, I shared with him the link, to that handbook of which he downloaded yesterday. 2 days ago now, maybe, actually.
Yeah, there is a lot of material. Even with going to the general, there seems to be more specific information that I need to know. And so, yeah, doing the practice exams on your website, Travis, that helps a lot. But just going back and rereading the material and just participating in it has given me a lot more knowledge.
Yeah, I think you're right. The doing it thing, that's worth a lot. You know, you get into it, you figure out why is this not working, what I need to do, how do I get on this band, and then use that band a couple times, and like you'll never forget that, you know, 40 meters is 7 megahertz, and you know, just like, you know, you memorize 2 meters and 70 centimeters for the technician exam, and then it just expands on that. But once you start using it, then it's, well, of course it is. You know, why would you have to do the wavelength calculation to figure it out?
Yeah, I agree 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's 6:42, so I'm going to head in here in a second, but I was talking about you yesterday, Brad. I was talking to Julia, the former intern, now works for John Chavone. As I was working on a DOE for wire bonding, for a wire bonder we transferred up from TJ, and I was telling her how, had you been here, I would have gone to you. Of course, I can look this stuff up too, but I probably would have gone to you to just get reassurance that I was doing it the right way, to optimize the bond parameters, as the machine seemed to require parameters in a range that I wasn't expecting. So that experiment was perfect, and I wanted to get her involved because I think I want to repeat this experiment on all the other machines. It hasn't been done in a couple years, and it'd be nice to get a new baseline.
Well, I appreciate that, Travis. I do miss that part of the job because I really enjoyed the statistical part of it. It's unfortunate that they didn't use it more in more areas of PCB.
All right. If you hear all the racket, I'm hopping out of the truck here now. I'm going to make my way in. Yeah, it's actually kind of nice out here. This would be a nice morning for sitting outside with a nice cup of hot coffee and realizing I didn't have to go to work, but unfortunately that's not the day. And not only that, but we have the auditors back in the cell this afternoon, so got to be mindful of them. All right, well, I'll say good morning to you guys. See you on the inside, Jeff. I'll talk to you soon, Brad. This is K2PCB. I am clear.
That's unfortunate about Jose. Mark is going to be bummed or what?
Yeah, kind of hard to tell through the text message. But he seems like he said, I'm going to take it at the end of November. He just didn't know the exact date.
I was talking to him before he took it, I'm like, you should be taking the exams every chance you get. You should have it up on your phone. If you have 5 minutes to do nothing, you should be taking practice exams. Just constantly checking them, look at a question nonstop.
Yeah, that's what I did when for my exam. Travis had set that site up for me. I was printing off exams from the ARL website and doing those and then going back to look at the questions I missed back in the book. Yeah, that's how I did it.
Even 12 years ago when I took mine, they had stuff on the internet and on the phone and just nonstop. I was kind of ridiculous with it. And I annoyed everybody around me because I just kept talking about it and and looking this and that, and then taking the classes at Lancaster.
Yeah, I can understand that if they really don't if they don't understand what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to do. I've got to print out some more exams from the website and do those.
Yeah, my wife just chalks it up to me being a nerd. So, anyway, 73s, I got to go to work and make the donuts. All right, well, have a good night, and if anything, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll see you Tuesday. All right, have a good night.
73 is KE2 NBM. This is KE2 GDQ. We're clear.